Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
Well, we'll get to both of the gifts that Penny gave and the reception that they had. I want to start with the gift she gives to Leonard. It's actually the most popular gift ever given every single year. It's always number one on the most requested gift every year for 10 years running. When people say, "What do you want for Christmas?" the response is, anybody? A gift card. Gift card. Gift card is the number one response. You ever play Family Feud? That's what you want to hit on the buzzer when Steve Harvey pulls you out. Gift card is the number one thing everybody wants for Christmas. And it's estimated to be that 60% of you will give a gift card this Christmas, which, you know, it's kind of funny when you think about a gift card to begin with. Like, what is a gift card really? You went to a store, you had cash, which could be used anywhere in the country, anywhere in the world for that matter, with no expiration date and no obligations, right? And instead, you exchanged it for a limitation and a confinement. You only have to use it at this store, and you have to use it in this amount of time. So it's sort of like, thank you for the constraints. I appreciate that. Every year, my grandfather would give my sister and I a $100 gift certificate to a fancy department store in South Florida. And the ironic thing about the whole thing was like, what's the one gift that kids don't want to get for Christmas? Clothes, most specifically, socks, right? This was the ironic part. We would take the $100 gift certificate to this nice fancy department store. We would go to the mall, and I would pick out a pair of socks. Why? Because it was the cheapest gift I could pick out, and back then, they would give you change in cash. It was in the card. It was back in the olden day when it was a piece of paper. You'd change the gift certificate, I'd get $93 back in cash that I could go spend wherever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And so eventually, my mom finally, I think, sort of just told my grandfather, just get them cash. It's what they really want. And so we still give the gift card, though, because for some people, it's the best gift you can give them because what they really love is to shop. And so what you basically said is, I'm going to give you a reason to go do the one thing I know you love the most, and that is to shop. For other people, the gift card is great because what do you give the person who already has everything? You give them an experience. You give them something to go do. You need to get out of the house, go have dinner, go to Outback, go to Olive Garden, go watch a movie, something like that. So you give them something to go do. But then there's also other people that you think to yourself, well, dang it, I forgot to give them anything. What can I give them? I know, I'll give them the gift card I never used last year. And so you re-gift the gift card because who's going to know, right? So the studies actually on gift cards say this. 20% of you in here will use that gift card within the first week. It is burning a hole in your pocket. You are given a gift card. You will go exchange it online for your iTunes. You will download your songs by before New Year's happens. You will get it. You're saying, we're going to dinner. It's Carrabba's tonight. Let's go. I got a gift card. We're going to have some fun. Xbox Live Games, I'm going to go pick out a game. And it's going to be downloaded on the system probably about 4 days from now because that's how long it takes to download a game over Christmas break. But you'll use it right away. Another 40% of you, you'll take that gift card. And you see, you're the bargain hunters. You'll look at this and you go, $25 at Kohl's. I'm not going to go right now. I'm going to wait until there's a sale. That way I can get 20% off more plus $10 Kohl's cash to use later. So I'll take your $25 card and I'll parlay it into about 50 bucks. That's what I'm going to do because I like the sales and to work on it. And that's how you played out. Now, here's the most surprising thing about gift cards, the last 40%. The last 40% of you will never use your gift card. Studies have estimated now, they did a study a while back, since 2005, it is estimated that there is $45 billion unused on gift cards. And that every year that number increases by at least a billion. Which is why if you walk around Walmart or Walgreens or Target or anywhere right now, they've got these kiosks set up with gift cards, right? Who wouldn't want to sell you something that 40% of you will never use and never redeem? Yet they'll get 100% of the profit out of it. And that's why I noticed this year at Walmart, because I was preparing for this message, I just gonna want to go make sure they still have these things at Walmart. Do you realize there is a gift card kiosk every 25 feet in Walmart? Every corner of the store has one, plus several in between, and a little all across the front, and of course every checkout register has several as well. Do you realize that? I mean, there's gift card after gift card after gift card. They're just everywhere right now because it's such good business. And so I was kind of like wondering, does anybody in this room have any of these unused gift cards on them, just by chance? Anybody have an unused gift card on them? You got one? Anybody? Who's got one? What do you got, Mar? No, I got to see it. I got to see it. I actually have to see gift card. I want to see. Hold it up. What do you got? Is that Carol back there? Who is that? What do you got, Carol? Somebody else? What do you got? What's this? B-dubs. How much you got of B-dubs? 25. How long you had it?
About 2 years.
All right. So 2 years of the opportunity to go to B-dubs. Now, if it was for Wing King, you probably would have used it by now, right?
Way to go.
Fellow Dolphin fan. All right. What'd you have, Carol? Amazon. How long have you had that? Amazon for a year? Have you bought anything from Amazon this year? So let me get this straight. Yeah, hang on. You don't even have to leave your house to use that. All you have to do is enter the code, and the next time you try to buy something, it'll say, hey, Carol, do you want to use this? It's here to use. But you haven't even entered it. Ay, 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 what you got over here? What's this?
Visa
25. How long you had it?
A month.
A month. Okay, that's not bad. What are you going to get with it? I'm starting to think you're part of my 40%. I'll take two more. What do you got in the back?
I got an Outback.
How long you had it?
My dad got it for Christmas last year.
Nice. Who are you giving it to for Christmas this year?
You.
Bring it. All right, what do you got over here? I'll go back row. What do you got? I can go both because we see a couple here. What do you got here in the middle? What do you got, Michelle?
Oh, my gosh.
Starbucks. How long have you had that? Real quick show of hands, how many of y'all have you had a Starbucks card you would have used it like this past week? Gift ideas. All right, and what do you got here, Andrea? Wait, hang on. Come on down. Come on, Price is Right. Come on down. Come here. There's one in every service at least. Come on. All right, what do we have here?
I have two movies, a Wawa, Crazy Good Donuts, Dunkin' Donuts, Barnes & Noble, Bath & Body Works, TJ Maxx, and Home Goods. My Starbucks is gone. I used it this week.
And how long have you had all this stuff?
Some are new, some are old, past and present students.
Okay, all right. Well, I would say that's a good chunk of our $40 billion. And if you would like to bless everybody in the room... No, thank you so much, Andrew, for coming up. So... we now know who the 40% are. Who's in the 20% that would use it right away? So you would use it right away. Would you use a Starbucks card right away? Yes? Okay, here you go. Starbucks card right away. There you go. Who else would use a gift card right away? DQ? Oh, everybody now, everybody. Everybody would use one right away now? Okay, there you go. All right. All right, that's it. That's all for those who use it right away. No more. Who's a couponer? Couponer, right back there. You a couponer? You like coupons? Do you like B-dubs? Because this one's a B-dub with a coupon. Will James use it? I'm not going to give it to Bama. Bama will never use it. It'll sit in his wallet for 2 years before he uses it. You sure? You're a couponer and you'll use this. Okay, there you go. All right. But you got to go to the Independence one. That's where the coupon's for. Just saying. We know the manager. He's a good guy. So go to the B-dubs on Independence. See, some of you are thinking, I'm a 20%er now. I'm going to use everything. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. You see, because there's no gift that you could give at Christmas that is more like the gift that God gave that first Christmas than a gift card. You know that? Really, there isn't. I mean, it's funny. I was kind of looking through some of the cards. You know, you can actually get a card to put your gift card in. So it's like a card inside of a card. So like they figure 40% of you aren't going to use it. So we might as well at least have a card, something to show for it, right? So I thought there was two cards I thought were kind of interesting and funny. They kind of caught my attention. The first is a Charlie Brown card, which if you've seen the movie, it's hilarious to think that somebody would give a gift card, reeking of commercialism and capitalism, after having watched the movie, because the movie is all about Not that, right? So anyways, it says in here, for a very Merry Christmas, follow these simple instructions. The wreath goes on the door. The Christmas ornament goes on the tree. The stocking goes over the fireplace. And this goes in your pocket, where it's going to remain for at least 2 years, 1 year, or even more, if it's somewhere like Outback or B-dubs, right? Right? Yeah, so it's very accurate. That's where it's going to remain, because 40% of you aren't going to spend it. The other card I thought was very accurate about Christmas was this one. It says, Santa knows if you've been naughty or nice, but it looks like he left you something anyway. And it has a gift card. And you see, I think both of those sort of sum up the picture of the gift that God gave us that first Christmas. You see, if you've been given a gift card, but you don't use it, what have you been given? Nothing, right? Like if you've been given a gift card and somebody comes over and says, hey, what'd you get for Christmas? You got a gift card. Well, what'd you get? Let me show me what you got. Well, I don't got nothing. How come you don't got nothing? Well, I hadn't gone to get it yet. So anyway, you were given a gift and all you had to do was log into Amazon, enter the number, and anything you wanted could be yours. That's all you had to do? What you got? Well, I don't got nothing. I just got this card. This card's a promise that I can get something. But it's not something until you actually go get something, right? So in other words, you can give the gift of a gift card, but until you redeem the gift card, you haven't gotten anything. You haven't received the gift. Like somebody was hoping, Bama, that you would have this wonderful experience eating wings watching a game, okay? But you haven't had that. You've been going to Wing King trying to watch the Dolphins win. We haven't. So you haven't had the experience. Whatever it is that they gave you, if you don't redeem the gift card, you don't experience what it is that you were supposed to experience. And I think that summarizes up Christmas so well from what God has given us, because so many people in the world have not redeemed, have not turned in, have not gone to receive what it is that God actually gave. There's that promise, and every year we come and celebrate it, we get it. I'm sure when you got that gift, when grandma gave you the gift, and your aunt gave you that gift, your coworker gave you that gift, you said, oh, this is wonderful, thank you so much, I really appreciate this. And you gave him a big hug, you had this mind, this fantasy about what you were going to go do, how you were going to spend it, what you were going to enjoy it on, but you know something? You never, ever, ever did. And then you'll come back next Christmas. And I bet you get another gift card this Christmas. And I bet you get another gift card. And I bet you even get another gift card. Right? And you'll get another gift card. And goodness knows people keep on giving you gift cards, one after another after another. But yet they're just going to sit there. Just like another Christmas sermon, just like another Easter sermon, it's just going to sit there. And it's going to sit there. It's going to sit there. And you'll have never received the gift God gave that Christmas. And John says this about Christmas. He says, you know, he's reflecting and thinking back on it. In John chapter 1, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen the glory of the one and only, the Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And out of his fullness, we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. For no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. He says, this gift we've been given is we know there is a God. See, for all time, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, people have this idea that there must be a God out there. Maybe they get it from creation, looking at the fine-tuned nature of all it is that we see that exists. I mean, everything is in such perfect balance, so much so that we know that we will destroy the ecosystem if you just take one thing out or add it in, and yet everything is so, so perfect. We breathe out carbon dioxide, we breathe in oxygen, and what do trees do? They breathe in that carbon dioxide and breathe right back out that oxygen, and somewhere along the way, you've got to look at that and say, only a creator could have done something so amazing. You go to a funeral and there's a sense within you that there's something that is beyond life, that life doesn't end at the grave, but life goes on beyond the grave, and we have this sense of eternity within us. But where does that come from if we're just a biological mass? We've just had this idea that there must be a creator out there. There must be something beyond this, and then we have this need and desire for unconditional love, for meaning, for purpose. None of that can be found outside of a creator, yet every single one of us universally has a need and a desire for meaning and purpose and unconditional love. And all of it points back to there being a God. And so we had this wonder, this thought, this dream, this hope that maybe, just maybe, there really is a God. So John says, once and for all, that's been proven, that's been solved, that's been shown right before us. We have now seen, we have beheld God. He lived among us. It was God, him very self, was here and walked among us, and his name was Jesus, and he was God. So you never have to wonder anymore whether or not there truly is a God. So anybody who says, I don't know if I really believe in God, the question is what don't you believe in? He's been here, he's been among us, he's walked, he is real. He went to the grave and he rose from the grave because grave could not hold him because he was God. He was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life. And you can walk the streets where he walked and you can go where he went because God is real. And he says, so he came, and not only is God real, but, you know, what does this God think of us? And he says, well, he came full of grace and truth. And if you think about those two things, they're complete opposites, aren't they? I mean, what's more contrasting than grace and truth? See, because when it comes to the two, it's like whenever we're talking about what you've done wrong, I want to talk about truth. When we talk about what I've done wrong, I want to talk about grace, right? Yeah, because truth says what you did was wrong. Grace says, it don't matter, right? Truth, you're a sinner. Grace says, yeah, well, you know, I won't treat you as your sins deserve. Grace says, you know, what you did doesn't matter. Truth says, oh, yeah, it does. Truth says you were caught in the very act, and grace comes along and says, okay, he who's without the sin cast the first stone. Grace says, no matter what you do, I love you. Truth says, yeah, but you better cut it out. You see, truth is the reason why you avoid church all year, because you're afraid of what the Bible is going to say and call you out on. Grace is why you like to come Christmas and Easter, because you know it's going to be a grace message, right? Jameson was asking me this morning, he goes, how come a lot of people will be there this morning that aren't usually there? I said, because it's guaranteed to be a grace message, because there's truth messages and there's grace messages. Truth messages say, this is what you're doing, you need to cut it out. Grace messages say, I love you anyway. People love the I love you anyway message. He says, well, why don't you teach on grace the whole year? I said, I do. That's the funny thing. Every week we share communion, every single week, but people are just afraid that it might be a truth message, and I might be talking about their finances and what they're doing with those things. I might be talking about their morality. I might be talking about how they have a grudge that they don't want to give up. I might be talking about those kind of things. And so they run and they hide the rest of the year, but they know when Christmas comes around, it's a Christmas gift. And they know when Easter comes around, we're all talking about grace. But it says Jesus was full of grace and truth. He didn't back down when it came to sin. And if you want to paint Jesus out as just being this lovey-dovey guy who ignored everything, then you're missing the fact where he takes this guy who is lame and he heals him at a pool and he comes, finds him later and says, listen, you need to quit sinning or something worse is going to happen to you. You need to go back when he sees the woman at the well. Even though he said to everybody else, he who casts the first sin, you know, or he who's without sin cast the first stone. Before she leaves, he says, all right, now go and leave your life of sin. He never backs down on that. He would say, woe to you, you scribes and you Pharisees, and for living as you do. He would say to others, you know, you may even think it or you may have said it, but hey, that's just as bad as doing it. That's not being soft. Or what about the time where he's talking with this woman at the well, and he says, hey, go get your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. He's like, you know, funny you should say that. You've had five husbands, haven't you? And the guy you're living with now, he ain't your husband, is he? That's truth. That's a bombshell. He was around sinners so much they called Jesus a glutton. And the crazy thing was is the sinners loved to hang out with him. You see, truth is all about cause and effect. What goes up must come down. We know that from gravity. Well, what you sow, you will reap, it says in Galatians, that you will reap what you sow. It says over Numbers 32:23 that be sure your sin will find you out. It's one of the scariest messages or verses in all the Bible, isn't it? Be sure your sin will find you out. Jesus never backed down when it came to truth. He was all about truth. Because he loves you too much to let you just continue to destroy your life. As the old saying goes, you know, when God says don't, he's really saying don't hurt yourself. Don't mess up your relationships. Don't mess up your mind. Don't mess up your finances. Don't mess up everything in your life. The truth is you shouldn't do this because it's going to destroy everything around you and everything you touch. And Jesus was all about truth. He never backed down on it because he didn't want you to hurt yourself doing all that stuff. But he was also full of grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. As John says, it's all the grace and all the goodness that God gave us is all just summarized and fulfilled in Jesus. It was just grace upon grace upon grace. And I'm not talking about some sort of weak-kneed, powerless, churchy kind of grace that you might sing about in a certain song from time to time. This kind of grace that maybe, you know, would say the prayer before dinner and stand up and sing the national anthem instead. I'm not talking about, you know, some sort of small, insignificant, irrational kind of grace. I'm talking about the kind of grace that's scandalous. I'm talking about the kind of grace that Sheldon won't accept. Because Sheldon has a problem with the idea and the concept of grace. A gift isn't a gift, it's a obligation. Because I must give you something equal back to what you've given me. So God, if you're going to give me forgiveness, then I must do something to earn it. It's been said you haven't really truly taught grace until you've offended most of the people in the room. Because grace is the older brother standing outside, looking at the party going on inside that God has thrown for the prodigal son who's come home. And the older brother says, if that's what grace is, I want nothing to do with it because I've earned everything I have. And it's not fair that you just give that away. And so if you're not offended at grace, perhaps maybe I haven't taught yet clearly on grace. Because grace is scandalous. To the one who receives it, it's amazing. And they'll sing about it all their life. But that's what Jesus has come to do. It's the great exchange. You see, it's crazy. See, like even in that moment, it's exchange. It is an exchange, but it's an exchange of absolutely nothing for everything. I mean, think about just what Christmas is itself. It's God leaves all of heaven and comes down to be wrapped in swaddling clothes in a dirty manger in the midst of our mess. Why? So that he could take us from our mess and one day be with him in heaven. It's a great exchange. He gives up what he has to come live among us so he can take us from where we are so we can have what he had. He takes a sinless life and he gives it to us, and he takes his sinless life and he gives it away, and he takes on our sin and our shame. He takes his life and he gives it to us on the cross so that our sin and our shame and our death can be made new with eternal life with him. He's the one who looks at the thief next to him and says, as the thief says, we're here because of what we deserve. And Jesus says, yeah, but today, this day, you'll be with me in paradise because I'm dying for your sins even though I don't deserve to. It's this great, amazing exchange. And the crazy thing is so many of you will never even bother to turn that in and validate it and take God up on the great offer and exchange that he's given. How many of y'all in here have a gift card? This is also a funny question. How many of y'all ever have a gift card that you've used up but yet you hang on to it? Who has a worthless gift card? What do you got? Show it to me. I want to see it. Oh, that don't count then. Somebody show me a worthless gift card. I want to know what you have and what's on it. Anybody? It's always funny what you're going to hear. What over here? It's a what? It's a. Why do you still have it? You want to add more to an empty Visa card. You want to add? How long have you had it for? So you think it's ever going to happen? Do you like Chipotle? Can I trade you a Chipotle card for your empty card? See, you got to have it out, right? See, I got $25 at Chipotle, which I will trade you for nothing on your Visa card. Worth it? Well, here, bring it on. All right. You're welcome. Merry Christmas. Anybody here have an empty card? Oh, somebody got them out quick. Now, what do you have?
Marshalls and Nordstrom.
You have a Marshalls and a Nordstrom's. Ooh, Nordstrom's. How much are on them?
I think this one has like 20 cents and this one's nothing.
Nothing? It might be slumming after you've been to Nordstrom's, but can I trade you a $50 Walmart card for those two?
Yes, sir.
All right, woohoo, Nordstrom's. How much was on this? 35 cents. All right, 35 cents for 50 bucks. Not bad. What do you got over here? Somebody over here? I saw this hand right here. What do you got? What? H&M, some fashion. What's on it?
Like 3 cents.
3 cents, that's it? Can I trade you for it? What if I give you a $100 Walmart card for the 3 cents at H&M? Sure? Okay. Well, Merry Christmas. All right. So, I'm done now. All I got is like 35 cents, but I'll trade you. So, I just gave up almost $200 in gift cards, and what I got for it was about 23 cents. That's the kind of exchange. Here you go, right here, man. Knock yourself out. That's the kind of crazy exchange that God has done with each one of us. He's taken our worthlessness, our used up, our broken, our tired, our worn out, and he says, come to me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All you who are sinful and weary laden, come on me, and I will give you rest. Great is your reward. This day you will be with me in paradise. Now, real quick, what did I just give out? Anybody? An opportunity. You don't have anything from Walmart, do you? What'd you get at Walmart? What? What did you get at Walmart? Nothing. What'd you get at Walmart? Nothing. How was Chipotle? What'd you get? Nothing. See, I haven't given anything because right now you haven't used it, received it, redeemed it. And everything that God is trying to exchange with you right now at Christmas is completely worthless if you're part of the 40% who will never use that gift card. If you're part of the millions upon millions who will come to Christmas and they'll celebrate everything but never redeem what it is that God has given to you and to me, the great exchange of our nothingness for his everything, our sin for his sinlessness, our death for his life, our mess in a manger for glory in heaven. My hope this Christmas is that you will give to God everything in exchange for everything that he wants to give to you. And what I love with Sheldon is when he realizes there is no way he could possibly pay back what it is that's been given to him. He couldn't give enough gifts to pay back Penny for what she gave to him because the gift she gave to him was truly priceless. What is the only thing he has left to do? Give of himself and show love because he's been given far greater than he can ever return. And my hope this Christmas is that what you receive from God, you'll give back in the same manner. Let's pray. Father, you're amazing. And you've heaped upon us just gift after gift, grace upon grace. But Father, just like a gift card, if we do not redeem that, if it just sits in our wallet, and this message just sits in our memory, year after year, Christmas after Christmas, and we never come before you and say, Father, I'm a sinner. My life is a mess and it's full of brokenness, and all the truth in your word is true about me. And this Christmas, I want to ask that your son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth, who left heaven for my mess, that I might give to him what it is I have left, which is broken and nothing, and receive from you life and forgiveness. So, Father, this Christmas, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, as my Lord, knowing that no matter what I've done, no matter what I've become, your grace has covered all. So, Father, may that be a gift we receive this year. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.